This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 220 for Wednesday, January 25th, 2017. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. Joining me tonight, Lou Page. Welcome, sir.
Howdy.
I was just talking to you before the show, just a little bit of preamble, about how much I enjoy Busy Zombie Lord as your handle on Twitter. And you had mentioned that it's available everywhere. Where else do you have it? You have it on Instagram.
I have it on Instagram, Twitter. I think it's even linked to me on Facebook in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, cool.
Before I got rid of my Xbox, it was my Xbox Live handle. It's my PlayStation Network handle. It's my Steam account. Pretty much, if you type in the words Busy Zombie Lord somewhere, in some way, shape, or form, my name shows up. So
well, that's great. You've got the cash value out of the name. What I think is when you come up with handles like that, I think that three names, if possible, is best. Mm-hmm. Three words. You could truncate that to BZL, you know, like if you're having
yep.
a, or even Zombie that, Lord, you know, if you're in a situation when you're in like a first person shooter and people get to talk to you.
I find it more easy to just go with Busy Zombie and the Lord part. There's always a conflict with that. There's always somebody that has Zombie Lord. But if you go Busy Zombie, there's nobody with that. So if I can't fit it all, I can at least use that part of the screen name.
Yeah, and that would be a fact, too. I've never seen a not busy zombie. They're always scrounging for brains.
Yes, exactly. And the funny part is it all came from me trying to create a user account on Xbox Live, and I was trying to put in Zombie Lord, and then I was going to either do numbers or digits at the end or something.
Right.
And it comes back, Xbox Live, I don't think they have it anymore, but they used to have a thing, and it was like, having a hard time creating a nickname? Put in some things, and we'll help you out. And I put it in, and it came up with a list of like 12 names, and I went, kind of like Busy Zombie Lord. And ever since then, that's been my user account on everything.
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
I've literally used it now for, God, it's got to be 20 years.
That's amazing it's that old. If anybody out there wants to become the anti-Lou, I think Lazy Zombie Lord would be an excellent, nemesis to Busy Zombie Lord. I might go steal that right now. And it's funny because for the longest time, when you like you're speaking about handles and stuff like that, I was Cartoon Man. That was the handle that I used back when Chad and I, one of the guys that started this show, were playing Medal of Honor online, and then yep. eventually that rolled over to Call of Duty, but Medal of Honor was the big one that we were into. United Assault, what was the winter one? Was that Call of Duty?
I think the winter one was
United Offensive. I've got it here.
I want to say it was Medal of Honor.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Medal of Honor Breakthrough, Medal of Honor. God, I can't see the box from here.
Allied Assault was the PC game, I think. Hmm. Or it might have been the GameCube game.
Yeah, I just had the deluxe edition. I'm not sure what it... I can't read it from here without like unplugging everything and going over to the shelf. But anyway, it was a great multiplayer online thing, and it was one of the first games that we had access to for that. So
yeah.
I was Cartoon Man, and everybody in the chat would always ask, like, are you a real cartoon? Like, are you a real cartoonist?
Yep.
It's like, yep, that's me. And I think eventually I had Cartoonist because I truncated it to be even shorter. And because people were calling me C-Man in chat, and it was confusing as to who they were talking about. So, but it was fun because in those games, you'd snipe someone from across the map, and it would say, like, Billy Bob 497 was just sniped by Cartoonist. The pencil is sharp. I don't know. There was lots. There's lots of opportunities for fun puns, and I think that would be, like having a snappy handle like that when you're playing those games. Like if you take out somebody as Busy Zombie Lord, it just has even that extra, like if like Zach 1945 kills you, it's like, well, okay, whatever.
That's the thing that makes me the happiest about it is there's no numbers at the end. That drives me crazy when you're playing with Bob, 1843. Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's real creative.
Yeah, because and ultimately people just call him Bob anyway.
Yep. You end up in a team full of Bobs and they all have numbers after. I've had that happen before.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, great. Now I have no idea who I'm talking to. Great. Yeah.
Although, I mean, if I had a team like that, I mean, like if you didn't call yourselves the Bobs, as a team name, then that would be a missed opportunity. One of the other things I think is I don't want to say unimaginative, because some people are very tied to their handles and those numbers have specific birth dates of kids and stuff like that. So I'm not going to denounce having numbers in your handle, but it's a lot easier to tag someone and type in chat because I'm a touch typer. Like I don't have to look at the keyboard, but I never hit the right numbers. My hands are too big. I use the wrong fingers, and I ultimately just kind of like stab and guess. And half the time I get it right, half the time I get it wrong. But if your name is all words, I can totally type it without looking.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But if I have to try to punch in some random number, and if it's 1, 2, 3, sure, I can probably do it. But if it's, 8, 9, 4, 5, not happening. Not happening correctly anyway. I'm going to call you 8, 9, 7, 5 or something. It's the way that it rolls. I haven't played an online video game in months. Not a year, but certainly since the summer.
Yeah, the only thing I do is I occasionally hop into Overwatch or I play Hearthstone occasionally on my phone. But that's about it. I haven't really been playing anything social.
I'd like to try to play Hearthstone again if I had like a powerful tablet that would do it. I don't know if I would play on the phone. I spend enough time dealing with my... I've got a small phone. And it's I'm getting old, Lou. I can't decide, excuse me, if I want to get a new phone with a bigger screen or if I just want to spend less time on the phone and get a tablet that I can actually use. Because the one tablet that I have, which was a gift, which is nice, is very, very old. And it is now, I even struggle to use it just to use recipes in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what my next mobile step is. I'm at a crossroads. I'm
feeling that way with, we have a original Kindle Fire. And it is nice. It is heavy duty. It has been... I mean, I think it's been dropped down flights of stairs. I think this thing has been beat to crap, and it still works, and that's great. But man, running anything on it now is kind of like, okay, got to wait for it to load.
And I'm which like, is a weird experience on a tablet.
Yeah, and I'm like, I think this may have seen better days.
Yeah, I'm at that unfortunate place where everything technological in my house has just stopped being useful. Phone, mm-hmm. I dropped the phone, so it's got a smashed screen. Still usable, but ghetto. I have an old tablet, like I mentioned. My old laptop is coming up on 8 years old. So it's officially legacy as of September. So that's like ancient. Still working hard. It's a good laptop, but it's slow compared to what I should be working on. Television died earlier last year. Sound system. I think it's a combination of my amp being done and the subwoofer also being done. I think my speakers are okay. I don't want to throw them out because I don't think there's anything wrong with them. But I have no way to test them because the amp doesn't work. So I'd like to try and replace that. And It's so frustrating because like I don't necessarily need these things with the exception of the computer. The computer and the phone would be things that I would need for business. But and I already have a new computer picked out. I just have to wait for the right
price.
Financial situation. No, price is locked. It's just the right financial situation as far as projects coming in, contracts locked, that sort of thing. But yeah, but for tablets, for home stuff, for televisions, like the TV that I want is the Sony XBR850, I think it's the name. Anyway, it's beautiful. I made the mistake of going into Best Buy to browse and actually get a look at it the other day after hearing from Mike O'Day that it's a very nice TV because he actually has the same model that I was looking at.
Yeah.
And because it would be essentially the replacement for the TV that I bought 8 to 9 years ago, but the modern version. And it's not a terrible price. I probably paid $2,000 for a Blu-ray player and that TV that I bought like ages ago. The Blu-ray player is just fine. That there's nothing wrong with that. But the TV was like, you know, $1,800, give or take.
If you price it right and you're not tied to a brand, they have some great sales. My dad literally called me maybe 2 weeks after Christmas, a week after Christmas, and said, "I need help." And I said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "My TV blew up and caught fire." And I went, "What do you mean your TV blew up and caught fire?" He goes, "Literally what I just said. I turned it on this morning to watch the news, and when I turned it on, fire started coming out of the back of my TV, and I had to turn the TV off, pull the plug, and go get a fire extinguisher before I caught my house on fire."
Oh my gosh!
And I went, "Why?" And he's like, "I don't know, but the TV used to run hot." And he's like, "It would turn itself off once in a while." He goes, "I just assume." I said, "Dad, you live in Florida and it sits next to a window. It probably gets a lot of heat from the sun." And he's like, "Yeah, probably." And he was like, "I'm looking at a 70-inch Vizio."
Wow.
And it was $1,000. And I went, "Is it a 4K?" And he went, "Yeah." I said, "It's a done deal. If you can afford it, go buy it right now."
Wow. Yeah. That's what was the price on that?
$1,000.
$1,000. Yeah. So the one that I was looking at is 55, and it was $1,400, but it's a Sony, so you're paying a little bit more for the brand. And it's the weird thing is, like, my sister has an LG TV. It looks good. I definitely want a 120 hertz panel, and man, the jargon out there, like, it is ridiculous to try and find a label that actually says it's a 120 hertz panel. They all say 120 hertz motion flow technology, blah, 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 which basically means, and you can usually tell by the price, if it's $1,000 or less, it's usually 60 hertz with some software buffing it up. But I know from experience that I definitely want to have a 120 hertz panel. So I found a few articles. One of them, I think, was on CNET, and it was basically like, if you can find something that's 4K from these brands, it's guaranteed to be 120 hertz because it has to be. I don't remember the brands off the top of my head. And the other thing that they said was, generally they're advertising software that doubles the refresh rate. So if you find something that advertises 240 hertz motion flow special stupid thing, then you're looking at a 120 hertz panel that is up to 240. I generally turn things off, like any of the software that they have on the TVs, I tend to turn it off because I find it makes things look watery. Like, I think everything looks too flowy and it doesn't look like real life. I also come from an animation background and a film background where I kind of like the 24 frames a second. I don't like 60 when I'm watching stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah, I find it looks weird. Everything looks too even as far as motion. It just, things are not supposed to slide around all at the same time, right? When something goes fast, it's supposed to kind of blur. Otherwise, it just doesn't look real. The uncanny valley thing kind of pops in.
My dad had the TV that blew up. I had to adjust his settings because it did that thing where everything you watch looks like you're watching a play on TV, and like, it does, nothing looks real.
Yeah.
Everything looks like actors standing on a set. And I'm like, yeah, I hate that look.
Yeah. No, it's exactly what it is. Yeah. It really rips out the depth of whatever they're doing. You know, like, the focal depth is there for a reason. You know?
Yeah.
The TV at Best Buy that I saw was the Sony one. And I was looking at it going like, wow, that is a it's a beautiful TV. Like, it's really nice. It's slick. It fits the framing and the decor and stuff is something that I like, you know, like the stand. Because some of the LG TVs and some of the other Samsungs, they're nice, but the design of the TV itself is, like, really ugly. And so, I mean, unless you're hanging it on the wall, which I'm not doing, then you've got an issue. And I was looking at the TV and I thought, damn it, this isn't the 55. They've got the 65 on display. So now, instead of being very interested in a reasonable $1,300 to $1,400 television, now I kind of want one that's like $1,700 plus tax, which is basically another $2,000 TV. And I won't buy it because obviously the computer is a priority for me. But just the fact that I paid $2,000 or, like, you know, $1,800 for a 46-inch 8 years ago. So to look for now something that's 65. Now, granted, 65 is going to be, I think, big for my space, but not, like, obnoxious.
Right.
I think if 55 would be like, yeah, that's a good size TV for the apartment that I'm not spending the rest of my life in, you know?
In all honesty, if you give it, like, say, another year, if you could make do with what you have for another year, my guess is that next year they're going to start unveiling 8K stuff. And when they do, all the 4K stuff will drop in price. It'll plummet.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless I end up with a large amount of, like, expendable income, or I happen to find one. Like, for example, like, if there was a Sony store in the city that was going out of business or moving or shutting down and they were, like, selling the display models, you know, like, I would totally, you know, buy a display model for cheap. That's what my sister did. She took me along because she was not intimidated, but she was not confident in buying a TV, you know, on her own. So I went with her and we were looking at this display model LG and it was perfect. It's like a 42-inch TV. It was under $1,000. It was actually, I don't remember how much she paid for it, but it was at the top end of her budget. So she was pushing it a little bit, but the regular value of the TV was almost twice her budget. And because it was on display, they were knocking like 30% off or something. It was crazy. But yeah, I want to say I don't watch enough, but here's the thing. I do a podcast about stuff I watch on Netflix. And some of the shows are things that would really look sharp on a nice new, you know, flat screen TV. Speaking of, I see that you've been watching some cartoons, as have I. So what's been filling your Netflix hole lately?
So I've recently gotten access to Rebels seasons 1, 2, and all the way up to current. And it is the one Star Wars show I have not watched.
Wow. Or
Star Wars thing I have not been watching.
So and before you get too into it, I want to let you know that I am currently through 1 and 2 and in the middle of current. So I'm not up to date.
I'm about 4 episodes from being caught up to where they're at now. So
you and I might be around the same spot.
I think I'm like episode 9 or 10 or something like that of this season.
So I think I've done 5 or 6, but okay.
Okay. Yeah. I won't spoil anything from the current season that much. Except that I think you know that Thrawn is now involved in the
Well, yeah, Thrawn. And he's in all the media. Like, if you go to the website, then Thrawn shows up. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But I had watched the first episode because they put it up for free online when it first came out.
Yep.
And I watched it and I was like, okay, it's neat, but seems kind of kiddie to me.
It was.
And I was like, well, when it shows up on Netflix or whatever, maybe I'll watch it. And then people kept telling me, no, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. So I even went to my local, there's a local DVD place that sells used DVDs and stuff. And I thought, well, I'll just go there and maybe catch it online. I mean, catch a cheap DVD. And the way they have it with the movie they put out before the second season, it was so convoluted. I was like, where do I begin? What do I watch?
Yeah.
They didn't call it the movie before season 2. They just kind of named it a thing. And that even happened when I was watching it. I was like, do I watch this movie or do I start with season 2? And then I started season 2 and I'm like, whoa. I think I missed a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I went back and had to go watch the movie.
And sometimes they'll have like, so they didn't do that between 2 and 3, but what they did do is at the end of season 2, they have like a 2-parter.
Yeah.
and I peeked ahead on, it was EP Guides, but that doesn't seem to be working anymore. But I peeked ahead with just episode titles, no descriptions. Yeah. And they seem to do that now twice a season. Mid-season finale and then season finale is like a two-parter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't do the movies anymore, which is good. Because I didn't like that either. Because it's all like, why did you do that? And it strikes me as something that was like, they either had the budget and they didn't have the airtime or something. Or... Yeah. They got through season one and the data wasn't clear as to whether they were getting a season two. So then they did the movie as kind of like a pitch, like a, this is where we want to take season two.
Yeah. I think you're right on the money with the second one. I know it did good, but I don't know if season one did really good. I know that with season two and the current season, it's like one of the most popular shows on the Disney XD channels.
So. Yeah, and I think that for two reasons. One, like you said, it started off really kiddie, but it grew up fast, much faster than Clone Wars. There's about halfway through Clone Wars, you start to get into some more mature subject matter. Whenever Anakin actually starts killing people with a lightsaber, they're bad guys, but he'll stab them through and with a lightsaber, and that's when the peril starts to be a little bit real. The relationships become a little bit more complex because after three or four seasons, the 10-year-olds that started watching the show are now 14, and that show went on for like six or seven seasons. So by the time mid Clone Wars happened, or late Clone Wars, like season 4 or 5, they did the same thing in Rebels, where in Ahsoka Tano in Clone Wars, she got older.
Right.
In one of from one season to the next, they fast forwarded like 3 or 4 years. And they don't do that from season 1 to 2 in Rebels.
But they do it from 2 to 3.
Yeah, they do. But they do it in a maturing the storyline from season 1 to 2 in Rebels quickly. So it becomes less of a, oh my God, am I watching Aladdin but Star Wars sort of situation. Yeah. Ezra stops being whiny. I want to say even halfway through season 1.
Yeah, he stops towards the end of season 1.
Yeah. Yeah, which is good because that starts to get old.
It gets old real fast, and then at one point, I think it's like episode 4, he's so whiny, I almost stopped watching.
Yeah.
I almost stopped watching. And then someone said, no, you got to stick it out to about episode 7, and I went, okay.
Yeah.
And then about episode 7, I was like, okay, this is, I am sold now. I am all in.
Refresh me, what happened in episode 7? Not total spoiler, but like what was the general?
I think it's the episode where he has to go undercover in a Rebel Academy, an Imperial Academy.
Yeah,
or something.
I remember
that
one. That was a cool one. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I think what happened was they started showing a lot more nostalgic Empire technology. And that's where I was like, yep, even if I have to deal with whiny, little blue haired Aladdin boy, I'm going to have to keep on watching this because a TIE fighter just went by and my arms got goosebumps, or they show like a Imperial Star Destroyer, or I guess at that point they would have been a Victor class. But, what else did they have that was really cool? Any bounty hunter stuff, like any Mandalorian stuff, because, what's her name? Sabine. Yes. So she's Mandalorian. And she's one of my favorite characters in the first season. She's what I kind of clambered onto because she's that little bit older than Ezra. She's fun. Like, it's still a kid's show, but she's got this kind of cool twist. She's a strong female character. She's got Boba Fett Mandalorian armor that she's spray painted like neon orange and purple, which is wicked. Like, just not even camouflage. Like, it's super loud.
It even seems like they change her outfit from episode to episode.
I think they do. They certainly do from season to season.
Yeah.
Yeah, they certainly do from season to season. Now, I was talking about Rebels, I think, a week or two ago. One thing that I've noticed lately is that they've really dialed back on the violence.
Yes.
It's a lot more adventure. There used to be a lot more shooting. In seasons 1 and 2, there was a lot of shooting. There's a lot of lightsaber battles. Like, there was a lot of really cool stuff like that happening. And I miss that.
Yeah. This season, there's definitely, there's some more killing going on later on.
Okay. Maybe I just need to stick with it.
Yeah, I think you need to stick with it. The first few episodes of this season are a little slow. They're really trying to hammer the fact that Kanan and Ezra have changed, and they've almost changed roles.
Yeah. Kanan looks badass now.
Yeah, he does, and he's now becoming the Obi-Wan Kenobi character from New Hope.
Yes.
And they even hint at something I think they might be doing in the movies, is Kanan even hints that maybe he isn't a Jedi, maybe he's something else.
Interesting.
They don't come out and say it, but there becomes a couple of references this season where he speaks with, there's like a totem guy. I think he was introduced in the second season. There's a guy that's a big monster thing that is in touch with the Force.
Yeah, and he looks like a moose. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they hint with that he has conversations with him in season three, and they hint that maybe Kanan isn't a Jedi. Maybe he's something else.
Yeah.
And they even make reference to it in season two with Ahsoka. And it's like, maybe there is something between the Jedi and the Sith.
Yeah, it's like the Jedi Knights that didn't quite get knighted. You know, it's the Padawans that didn't make it through, but they're still Force sensitive and Force powerful. That's essentially what happened with Asajj Ventress as well. No, she was bad. Yeah. She wasn't a Jedi, but she wasn't a Sith either. Eventually, she just got sick and tired of being a puppet and went on her own way, right? Kind of a rogue, dark Jedi. I'm not sure what you even call them. But the other thing in the movies, in Force Awakens, can't remember her name. She owns the bar on the planet.
Yeah.
She's super old and Force sensitive. She's not a Jedi. She doesn't, or at least does not let us know that she can move or control the Force, but she seems to at least be sensitive to it. And I thought that was really interesting, that kind of, again, pointing to the extended universe, that there are Force-sensitive creatures, but not necessarily Jedi.
People that are Jedi.
Yeah. And if you've read the Timothy Zahn series where Admiral Thrawn was introduced, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there about, like, Jedi dampening abilities and creatures that are Force sensitive or Force not sensitive. Like it's a really interesting.
I know that a lot of that stuff is not considered canon anymore due to Disney, but they seem to be borrowing stuff from that this season.
Well, Thrawn is a big fan favorite. They're not doing him justice at all, unfortunately. I found him way more intimidating in the books. He's too soft-spoken. For me.
You have not seen some of the later episodes. Then.
Okay, so maybe they had loose footing for him when they first introduced him. So
they definitely make him. He's dealing with the Imperial guys. I won't spoil any plot points.
Sure.
But he's dealing with the Imperial guys, and the Imperials are treating him like they think he's stupid, and literally he's playing chess, and they're all playing checkers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that.
And they make it quite clear later on in a couple episodes that it's like, they're not even playing the same game. And he literally tells some of them, like in other words, why don't I just have you killed right now? And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the last one that I watched, I think might have been where he's on the Twi'lek planet and he's talking about like their art and knowing their art. Is a way to know your enemy and stuff like that, which is it's a quote or an attitude pulled from the book. He's calm and calculating in the books, but he's definitely sinister, and they don't really have, at least at this point for me, the sinister sort of stuff.
You start to see the sinister in some future episodes.
Okay, cool. I mean, I'm still gonna continue. It's just not as accessible for me. I have to find it other ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not great. Do you have any beefs with the show?
I think sometimes it's too predictable.
Yeah.
My biggest gripe is they keep bringing Darth Maul back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't find him interesting.
No, and another missed mark for voice acting for him too.
Yeah, the guy that's voicing him has also done a whole bunch of other Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
He was the motion capture and the actor that did those Force Awakens games. It's the same guy.
Okay. Yeah, like I feel like there's some of the, like the bad guys, they need some more malice. With the exception of Darth Vader, like it's really cool to see him in a cartoon. They use him sparingly, which is good. Like I don't necessarily want him in every single episode.
I almost feel like they use him not enough.
Yeah, no, I could see that. They certainly could have him puppeteering a little bit more, you know.
Yeah, like I would love to see him having a conversation with like Thrawn or something like that. Mm. But they don't do any of it, at least not yet, from what I've seen.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of like that's great, but you know, just they dropped him into a couple episodes last season, and then he just kind of disappears, and you'd be like. You know, you think he'd be after the Jedi, you know?
Sam is saying that it's Sam Witwer is the voice actor for Maul in Rebels. And apparently he was the vampire in the U.S. version of Being Human. I've only seen the BBC version. It might not be BBC, but it was the British version is what I saw. And Maz Kanata is the bar owner. I to stop all my Star Wars listeners from screaming and emailing at me. that's why we have Sam in the chat, because she's resourceful and awesome and can type and search things on the internet without having to worry about running a podcast at the same time. I've also been watching a cartoon on Netflix, and for me, it's a story that I'm not at all familiar with. It's called Troll Hunters. I've been posting a little bit about this on social media. Have you seen this at all?
I have not, but when it showed up on my Netflix queue, my first thought was that they did something with box trolls. My first thought.
No, not even close. And I've never seen box trolls, but I've heard about it from a lot of friends. But no, Troll Hunters is actually based on a teen book. It's not a children's book. It's a young adult novel by Guillermo del Toro and Daniel Kraus. So Del Toro is behind Hellboy and Pan's Labyrinth and stuff like that. So now in the book, apparently there's a monster troll, Balrog. What's his name? I can't remember his name right now, but he's in a town like a San Bernardino in California, and the troll is actually eating kids. Like there's people are not going missing. They're being eaten. So Bular is the name of the big bad troll. And in the cartoon, it's voiced by Ron Perlman.
Really?
Yeah. The voice acting in this cartoon is off the charts. Anton Yelkin, unfortunately, has passed away, but he plays Jim Lake, the main character. Kelsey Grammer is Blinky the troll. Who else is in it that's really good? Jonathan Hyde plays Strickler, one of the villains. Trying to think about who else. Ron Perlman. Any of the big trolls are really really well voiced because they're usually big hulking characters, and the males especially usually have a very distinct sound to their voice, any kind of villainous characters as well. But it's really well voice acted. The animation is okay. It's DreamWorks TV, and DreamWorks has got a bunch of really talented people. The action is pretty good, but I find some of this more subtle acting is a little bit more. It's not as punchy as I feel it could be. It's the same thing with Rebels. It's the same thing with it wasn't so bad with. Something about Clone Wars was pretty sharp, and I liked that. But Rebels is pretty watery and flowy, and it's the same. Well, the same thing you and I were talking about earlier with the TVs. Like, they're just, you know, like there's something about Rebels where it's just like, God, I wish they would just, that character should just sit still. There's no need for them to be moving all the time. And that's what it is with Troll Hunters. But it redeems its small faults with. A really cool story that's unique. It's a world where trolls eat cats and anything related to cats. So like kitty litter, like everything. So there's hilarious moments where a troll is like doing something really important and then is completely distracted by a cat on a fence. It's like, ooh, tasty. And they're just gone. Just not even, you know. When I was a kid, Alf, the TV show with the puppet, he used to eat cats. And I always found that funny. Because I don't like cats, and so this is a nice little nod to stuff like that. Because And because it's not Disney TV, it's not network television, it's Netflix and a cartoon. So they deal with bullies at school, and the two kids get in a fist fight, and one kid actually hits the other and knocks a tooth out. Like, violence. I mean, they deal with it. It's not like they're promoting it. But in most cartoons these days, that wouldn't even happen. Like, they don't get that far. I mean, there's fighting in cartoons, but it's usually between, like, a very distinct bad guy, you know, like a monster troll thing, and the good guy. But in this, there's fighting, you know, amongst just kids. And I was trying to think about the other things that I find really endearing about the story. That just, it's not episodic. So some of the things that you were complaining about, Rebels being slow. Rebels will have two or three episodes that will push the plot forward, and then they'll have two or three episodes that are just
filler.
Filler. We have to go help these aliens find a new home, and we're going to learn a life lesson. And you roll your eyes so hard they come out the back of your head, and it's got nothing to do with anything other than just like, this character needs more airtime because this voice actor needs more money. Like, I don't know what it is that makes them do it, but it's unfortunate. In Trollhunters, I want to say, like, even some of the episodes that are contained, there's still a major arcing plot throughout at least half the season. I'm about episode 20 of 26. So there's, you can see where if it was a TV show, there would have been a mid-season break.
Right.
Where they wrapped up like a plot. But that's good because I don't want to watch 26 episodes of the same plot, right?
Right.
And it's still the same beat the big bad guy mission, but they finish one task and have to then move on to another. But the goal is still the same. It's just that their focus and how they're doing it is different. And it's a very, very funny show. The lingo is a little bit forced at first. Something that gets under my skin, Jack's best friend Toby, he calls him Tobes. And it,
yeah, that would get on my...
Yeah, it smacks of adults writing and trying to be cool and failing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Tobe, but not Tobes with an S. It feels very like early 2000s, and it just doesn't sit well with me. But what kind of works is how silly Toby is. And so then he starts saying, like, you know, boom, shake the room. And he's a little bit corny. So Tobes works a little bit better later on. And what redeems it even more is that his full name is Tobias. And the trolls always call him by his full name, never Toby or Tobes. They always call him Tobias. I think just for the sheer enjoyment of getting to hear Kelsey Grammer say Tobias and have it echo across Troll Market. But yeah, it's I highly recommend it. I am going to get into a full spoiler show with it. Stephen Sharky Renard, who's been on the show before, he watched it with his kids and they loved it. And they're like 10 and 12. So
right, they're probably the perfect age for it.
Absolutely, yeah. So so he and I are going to talk about it on a future show when I'm done. And we'll get into full-on spoilers. But you really should check it out and give it like three episodes, maybe four. They're short. They're 22 minutes. Like it's really easy to get through on Netflix, especially because there's none of those beats where it would go to a commercial break. You know?
That's so nice.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, obviously, Disney XD is a television channel, so there's a commercial. It was probably for toys. And... you know, there's a rocket flying at the good guys, and then they go dun dun dun, and they fade to black. It's like, well, that's where a commercial goes. In this, if there is a spot for it, it's not that obvious, which is nice. So it feels like you're watching mini movies, not like a cartoon for television. They're all the same length, probably for marketability. And if they ever do want to sell it for syndication, they probably had to make it a certain like 22 minutes. You know, they probably had that kind of constraint.
Right.
But they handle it really well. And I've heard really good things about the DreamWorks Netflix How to Train Dragon TV series. So
yeah, I would also say Voltron's really good, and they did that as well.
Yes, and Voltron's on my list, and I just haven't had the time. But probably because I'm in this cartoon mood, Voltron's probably I'm gonna watch next.
I have not finished the first season of that. I think I got like four episodes left to finish the first season. And it was really good. The only reason I stopped watching is I think something really, really like something that I was dying to watch came out at this, like while I was watching that. And I was like, I just never went back. So
yeah,
but that was not because of the quality of the show.
Something that Trollhunters has that gets you in there is that it's completely unfamiliar. Like Voltron, we had as kids, you know, Star Wars, everybody's really familiar with that universe. But when they do new things in Trollhunters and they start going on these other adventures, it's just like, oh, now they're talking about this kind of a troll or this kind of a creature. It's like, well, I wonder how this universe is going to handle a dragon or going to handle a pixie or going to handle
right
just different kinds of trolls. You know, and like swamp trolls. It's like, what the hell is a swamp troll? Well, I mean, and even then, like when you look at these trolls, like there's really big trolls that look like gorillas. They've got like small legs and great big arms. And then you've got these other weirder looking trolls that kind of remind you of like Monsters, Inc., where they've got like six eyes and four arms and all that kind of stuff. But they've just got such a unique character design. Like I looked up the character design stuff immediately. And it was, I think it's Two-Headed Studio. It's a studio, so there's no one person behind it. But if you do a search for Trollhunters character design, they come right up. You know what? I think they might be on my phone. I think I left the browser window open. I feel bad getting it wrong because they did such a really good job. Survey says Headless Studios, not Multihead. Headless Studio is the team that put together the character designs. And I've only ever been able to find like a handful of images of the main characters for design sheets. And I'm holding off on real research because I want to finish the series. I find even the 2D art that they run at the end credits is spoilery. So be careful. Like you're watching it and then you see one of these characters that you've been watching in the show doing something really cool in the art and you're like, shit. Like that was probably going to be a cool reveal in the show, but I haven't gotten that far yet. or even just for me, I mean, this is more of an art spoiler, but like some cool troll that looks like it's selling trinkets and it's got, you know, three arms and a weird snaky head. And he's like, well, I haven't seen that guy before, but I bet you there's a really cool way to introduce him. And I, you know, now that I've mm-hmm. seen the design, I'm a little bit spoiled by it. So just be careful when you're watching it. Like I would hit next when the show comes up and says like, hey, do you want to watch another one? I would stop or hit next right away. So you can get in there and check it out. But it's absolutely worth it. It's really well done. And it's been a long time since I've had a cartoon that's new, like 2016 new, that I haven't had much to complain about. Like I always nitpick, but this is a really solid show.
You've sold me. I've added it to my Netflix while we've been speaking. So.
Nice. That is my mission. I hope everybody listening has added it too. It's really worth checking out, especially if you've got kids in the 8 to 12 range. I would say watch it with them because it's really well done. It's Pixar-esque in that there's going to be moments where your kids are going to lose it because it's a fart joke and you're going to find it funny too. But then there's going to be some more, it's not adult humor, but it's just more word-related, more intelligent humor that depending on, you know, how savvy your kids are might go over their heads, but it's going to make you laugh. But it's right. Just, it's got some good timing. I really like Arg, which is an excellent name for a character. Spelt with three A's, three R's, two G's, and two H's. and he's this giant green and gray hulking troll, but he's a pacifist. So like it's like the Hulk, but mellow.
Yeah.
So he's a really interesting character. Reminds me of Ludo from Labyrinth, Jim Henson's Labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
Like if you're gonna kind of put that mentality in there, that's where he is. Like he can get stuff done if he needs to, but most of the time he just wants to kind of sit around and play video games, which is pretty endearing. There's some memes in this show. Like I've got some fan art building. I haven't done the research for the character designs because like I want to finish the series before I can go and start doing some right. fan art. But yeah, it should be pretty cool. But you've also been watching some real world stuff. What else is on your list?
A show that showed up with a trailer like last year is a show called Taboo, starring Tom Hardy. Written by Tom Hardy, and he's one of the creators of this show as well. And that was one of the reasons why I was really interested in it. And I was like, huh. And after doing some research, Tom Hardy's dad is also a creator and writer of the show.
Wow.
So it's like they're all involved. And it's a really interesting premise. Tom Hardy plays a guy named James Delaney, and his dad is kind of like a wealthy trader in England.
Okay.
And his dad's older, and his dad's now passed away. And he has a half-sister, and he's been missing for – Tom Hardy's been missing for 12 years. He went on an adventure to Africa, and it's hinted that his not coming back from Africa may have been caused by some people on purpose, including the East India Company, that they may have sabotaged and put him on a slave ship to never come home. So that they could do some dealings with his father, with him out of the way. And he's now returned after his father's death, and he just kind of shows up at the funeral, and they now need to read the will. And if he was dead, his sister gets everything, but now that he's alive, he gets everything.
Oh, wow.
And the East India Company is all upset because he owns property. they don't really make it clear where it is. It sounds like it's in America on the West Coast.
Okay.
And it's got something to do with America and Canada dividing up their land with England. Huh. And in 1816. And if he gives the land to the Americas, they could inherit Toronto or something like that.
So wait a minute. It's set in the early 1800s?
Yes.
Interesting.
It's 1814 or 1816, and he shows up at his father's funeral, and he starts putting, like, weird war paint on his face while he's watching them bury his father, and people are like, what is wrong with him? What is going on? And the East India Company, like, sends assassins after him at one point, and he's, like, making deals with American spies on British soil. And it's really interesting. And he's not really a good guy. Like, he outright goes to this other guy, and there's a boy that this old man's raising, and they never outright say it, but it's led to believe that the boy might be his illegitimate son. And he's paid this old guy to raise the kid. And the old guy goes, so will you be taking the boy? And he's like, God, no, I don't want anything to do with him. Keep him. I'll pay you for it. And you're like, so there's weird things going on that they haven't fully explained. And his mother, the land that he owns, that he's inherited from his father, that the East India Company wants, he meets his father's butler or housekeeper, and they have a conversation, and the guy helped raise him, so they're very close. And he's like, you don't have to lie to me anymore. I know where my mother came from. And the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, no. I know my father bought that land, went out there and stole a woman and brought her back and called her his wife. I know that's what happened. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, come on. My mother spoke in tongues and spoke in weird languages that nobody understood. I know she wasn't raised here in London.
Hmm.
And there's all kinds of weird things. And the butler's like, no, your father was into some weird stuff. There was incantations and midnight rituals and blood sacrifices, and I don't really want to talk about it. And like, so there's this weird stuff going on, and somehow the East India Company and him, and they even make fun of the King of England at one point. If you ever watched Sherlock?
Yep.
The guy that plays Minecraft.
Yep.
He is, they call him the Prince Regent. And they put him in this awful wig and this awful makeup. I didn't even realize it was him. And they put him in like a fat suit, so he looks awful. And they hand him a map, and it's them. They're discussing fighting with the Americans at sea. And they hand him a map, and it's supposed to be the admirals drew him a map. And they look at the map, and he's like, what am I looking at? And his assistant goes, well, there's the red X's are American ships. And the blue X's are us. And he goes, this map is silly. And the guy goes, excuse me? He goes, we should be the red X's, and they should be green, because that's what their country is. It's green. And you're like, wow, he's really stupid. And it's just, the whole show is kind of like that. Like, weird things happen, and they don't really explain it.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy's character has a weird fetish for his half-sister, where he keeps showing up at her house and being like, I love you. And she's like, you're creepy, go away. And he's like, no, no, I love you. And she's like, you're creepy, go away. And the whole show is just really weird. And he's like making deals with people, people getting stabbed. And you're like, what the hell is it? I'm three episodes in and I'm still not fully sure what the whole plot of this show is. But it's definitely holding my attention.
Well, it's like the Wild West as things develop. I mean, like the U.S. would have been a solid country, but Canada wasn't right. United until 1867.
Well, and this is all in London, but they're talking about land in America.
Oh, okay. So none of it's actually set overseas.
None of it's set here in America. But he keeps dealing with, there's a guy who's a doctor and he's like the spy for the Americans, and he keeps showing up and they keep making deals. And he's like, no, 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 I want to talk to the president. And he's like, you don't get to talk to the president. He's like, no, 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 I want to talk to the president. And he's like, no, you don't really get to talk to the president. Hmm. He's like, well, what about the guy that's here for the president to discuss? No, you don't really get to talk to him. He's like, then we don't have a deal. I'm not going to give you the land. And it's like, he's very nervy, and you're like, wow, everybody kind of wants him dead. Like, the Americans want him dead, the British Parliament wants him dead, the East India Company. You're like, gee, I don't know how he's going to end up on top, but it sure is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it seems like a kind of an odd time period, too.
Yeah, it's a time period that I'm not unfamiliar with, but when I heard that they were disputing land with, like, they never outright... They show you a map, and it's not real clear where the land is. But as they're talking about, they're like, yeah, if the Americans get it, we might have a dispute over Vancouver or Toronto or something like that. And you're like, huh.
Yeah. No, if it was the U.S. and the West Coast, then it would be British Columbia, you know, California, right. Washington, Oregon, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And Alaska, too. But it sounds like it's worth checking out. I mean, I bet it sounds like something Chad would like, because I know that Chad really likes Tom Hardy, and
he's
history.
He's the best part of that show. Like, and everybody in it, you'll recognize every actor, and you'll be like, huh, I know that guy. Why do I know that guy? Oh, that's right. He had a bit part in this wacky British movie I watched. Oh, that's the guy that what's his name? The guy that runs the East India Company is Jonathan Pryce, who was just in Game of Thrones and died last season.
Right.
That was the...
Spoiler!
Well, I think everybody that listens to this show has listened to us talk about...
Yeah. No, I know.
Game of Thrones.
I was being a dork.
Yeah, but he's in it as the guy that runs the East India Company. It's like, every time somebody shows up, I'm like, hey, why do I know that guy? And then I end up on IMDb and I look at it and I go, oh yeah, he was in that weird obscure British movie I saw. And oh, he's also been in these three TV shows I've watched. And I'm like, huh, they got all kinds of people in this.
Interesting.
Only 8 episodes.
Is it? Oh, cool. Where is it? Like, how do people get it? Like, what's the...
It's on BBC right now.
Okay. So thankfully, a lot of that BBC stuff does hit Canadian Netflix. So,
yeah, I know it does.
I'll have to keep an eye out for Taboo when it gets here. Well, that brings us into the Internet Minute, which is brought to you by Patreon. If you are enjoying the ramblings of Mr. Busy Zombie Lord and me, then head over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. That's one of the best ways for you to support the show. It's pretty direct. If you like it, you can become a patron. It's completely up to you. If you do become a patron, you get to hang out with everybody in the Slack chat, which is a patron-only community that we all kind of partake in. I've been a little bit quiet in there lately because I've been so busy, but it's always hopping. I do read the Slack chat, so there's lots of really cool stuff happening in there. So head on over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe and take a gander. Let me know what you think. I don't have a pick tonight, but Lou does. And hey, it's more Netflix.
Yeah, my pick comes from basically zombies. So I haven't picked anything zombie related in a while. But we just did our rundown 2 weeks ago of like new zombie stuff that was coming to video games, movies, TV this year. And literally, we did that show, and then 3 weeks later, like, Netflix went, oh yeah, you guys talked about zombies. Here's 4 movies that are coming this year and a TV show. And I went, what? Why didn't you talk about this last year to get people excited? But the my pick is, if you go on YouTube and you look for the phrase Santa Clara or Clarita Diet. And it is a new show coming to Netflix next month. It's like 2 or 3 weeks away. It is a show starring what's his name from Justified? Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, cool.
And Drew Barrymore. And they live in a suburb in California, and something is wrong with her. And come to find out, she's dead. She has no pulse, and they don't know why. And she finds out that she's a zombie, and she needs to eat people. So they work together to kind of kill bad people so that they can feed her so that she can stay alive. And their kids get involved. And
nice.
And it's written by the guy who did Better Off Ted, if you've ever seen that. So I'm guessing it's going to have the same kind of sense of humor.
Better Off Ted. Did I see that? I think I maybe only heard of it.
Yeah, it was a sitcom they did, I think, on NBC. It only lasted 2 seasons, but it's really, really funny because it makes fun of corporate culture and pharmaceutical companies. And the pharmaceutical company is always doing these crazy things that you're like, no, real companies wouldn't do that. And then they hinted enough that you go, oh, maybe they would. And you're like, it's one of those kind of shows where like they're like, yeah, we're looking for volunteers to cryo freeze in Better Off Ted. And I'm like, gee, he had a really dark show. Is going to end up being very dark, but very funny.
Yeah, no, it looks at it. It reminds me of another pick that you had a long time ago, and that was not an internet pick, but a show, iZombie.
Yep, it seems very much in a similar fashion to that.
So was iZombie funny, or was it...
Very funny. It's kind of like murder mystery with a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Which is still going, and that is actually coming back to TV, I think, in 2 weeks.
Oh, cool.
And they were on their third or fourth season, and they don't do... That show, the one thing I will give that show credit for, they don't do like 20 episodes. They do like 14, and they're done. So it doesn't outstay its welcome. You don't get a whole lot of filler episodes.
Yeah, I much prefer short bursts because then you can move on to something else. You know, you know, it's a long haul. I still have yet to return to any of the CW comic book shows that I was watching in the fall. I've just lost interest. I'm burnt out. They're all, you know, kind of so-so this year, and I just I don't really feel like getting into more filler because there might be one or two good episodes this month, but then after that, you're just looking at this long drudge until March, April when they start to, you know, push things forward.
Yeah, I think I'm going to let a couple of them build up before I watch them when they come back.
Yeah, that might be the thing to do is wait for when there's nothing on Netflix.
I did that with Arrow. I waited until I had like 5 episodes. And then I watched all 5 episodes. And if you watch them all back to back, it's not as bad as week to week.
Really?
Because I found that while I don't love the show, I was like, okay. So they got the bad guy in that episode. Okay, next episode. Oh, yeah, new problem. Oh, yeah, okay. All right, whatever. And yeah. Before I could notice the flaws of the previous episode, I was already on the next episode.
Yeah, for me, I did that with 2 or 3 Arrow episodes this fall, and because there was nothing else on, and they hammer the plot over your head every episode like 3 to 4 times, and to watch that 3 times in a row, like I was done. I felt dumber having watched that show. I think it was a Friday night where like I had downloaded several. I was like, well, I'll watch one, and I couldn't sleep, so I ended up watching 2 more. I was like, nope, never again. I think I might have to pull like a card from Alistair's book where he only watches, I think he's catching up on Arrow, but I think for the longest time he only watched the episodes where the Flash crossed over with Arrow.
Yes.
And he found that he wasn't lost. So I might just have to like forget it and just come back to it when it's important and not have to worry about it. Like maybe just go back and watch like the one before the crossover and then the crossover episode and maybe the one after just to kind of get the whole feel for it. But because the crossover ones are fun. Like I enjoy that kind of stuff, but
yeah, I like the characters in Arrow, but I don't like the plot.
Yeah.
And the villains are really can he fight a guy that doesn't use a freaking bow and arrow?
Yeah.
Come on. Like, why is it, And I feel the same way with Flash. Why does he have to keep fighting speedsters? Can't we give him another type of villain to fight? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, know he's really fast, but, you know, you could come up with a villain that can outsmart him.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, well, it's the same problem that, I mean, it's a little bit better in Supergirl, but Superman has the same problem. Like, the villains that he faces, just going up against somebody that's just as strong as Superman, no one has the budget for that, because you're the whole city's going to get destroyed, like they do in the comic books. But I feel like they, some of the villains that they ended up using in Smallville and stuff like that were, you know, not as good. Because they had to go with, like, you know, Mxyzptlk or, you know, some other weird villain, because it's not quite as good. Whereas, like, Batman's got the Joker, and it's a little bit more easy to balance that kind of thing. The problem, of course, is that they're not going to put the Batman on TV. I wish they would, but they're not going to. Only cartoons.
No.
And so what you get is the Arrow, and it's the Arrow trying to be Batman, but the Arrow doesn't have the villains that Batman does. And
no,
they can't do it, because anything that they do just smacks of copying Batman. So they have to kind of come up with, like, even Ra's al Ghul is from the Batman, you know, mythos. So, like, they had to come up with something.
He was the only crossover from those episodes where I was like, that's okay. I'm not mad that they brought it. Like, he fits. He fits.
No, it does. at some point, you kind of wonder, like, how many heroes did Ra's al Ghul train? You get into that realm. But, yeah, like, I think with Arrow and those superhero shows, I'm definitely going to return to Supergirl, because I do like the show. And I think I'm going to try again the... Legends, yeah, because I like the characters, like I feel like if enough has changed,
it's not this whole season on that show. It's not as last season was kind of rough for you. They've definitely ironed out some of the bugs. My only gripe with that show is they keep messing with time and not trying to fix time, and they keep making things worse for themselves. And you're like, stop it, just fix time. No, you went back to fix it. No, don't, you're going to make the tweak. And then next thing you know, they go back to the future. And they go, oh shit, we screwed something up. And you're like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my only gripe with that show, is that they keep messing with it. It's the Barry effect.
Yeah. Well, and that's my major complaint with the Flash this season too, is that it's the whole timeline shift and just, it's all the same things, you know. Caitlin's got powers and she's not telling anybody and she's going to suffer alone. And it's just like, God, could you just, one of these times, if these shows could come up with an original way for a character to handle something, like insert any CW show over the last 10 years and it's the same thing, you know. Maybe it's not superpowers, but something. And the whole drama is just centered around the fact that character A has a secret and they're not telling character B, and they should. And that's like, and it's not interesting, because, you know, eventually it's going to come out and then they have to fake being mad at each other. It just doesn't work. The thing that really bothers me about the Barry Allen timeline stuff is Cisco being pissed off that Barry changed the timeline and his brother died.
Yeah.
He's treating it like Barry murdered his brother. And that's just not how my logic works. Like, that to me doesn't make sense. If the friendship that you have with Barry has not changed, if you still have this solid, solid friendship with Barry and that remained unchanged, then this thing, I mean, it sucks, but you didn't know a life with your brother.
Right.
It's not like you've had your brother up until the moment that Barry changed the timeline and then he died. Your brother died years ago. You've dealt with it. You've processed it. But now you find out that that wasn't the case. Like, so there's no loss there.
Right. My other gripe with that was always that in the previous, they never made it clear that him and his brother were buddies, because they hated each other in the previous episodes of the show. Like, his brother was a jerk. So he didn't like him. Who cares if he's dead?
Exactly.
They hated each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. It doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, it doesn't, they're, the actors are reacting because the script tells them to. It doesn't make sense as far as what the viewer knows and how the characters have developed over the last year and a half. But anyway, we have to wait to actually watch Flash before we can start ranting about it. But it's a good place to end this episode. So if you like listening to us live, you can go to thecizzlecafe.com every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Our mobile audio stream is provided by alphageekradio.com, and the music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can email the show and tell us how much you hate The Flash at thecizzlecafe@gmail.com, or find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything I am doing online at joelduggan.com. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter with just my name. And hey, check out forgepublishing.com. We're getting really close to finishing Piper's book. This week I've been working on the list of backers at the end of the book to kind of give you an idea as to where we are. We have some editing to do and some pre-press stuff, but we're getting really close to sending this to the printer for proofs, and both Piper and I are pretty excited. So check out forgepublishing.com. Lou, where can people find you and the cool zombie podcasts that you do?
Yeah, the easiest place to find me is on Twitter. I am at BusyZombieLord. And you can find my show wherever you get your podcast. It's Zombies Ate My Podcast.
You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.